All right, gang. This is a long-awaited podcast. This is our Ashler Hills Pickleball Park update. And we're still talking about Scottsdale North, but maybe we'll get to that later. But we've got Nick Molinari from City of Scottsdale Community Services. He's going to give us an update on where we're at with the park, maybe a little history, where we came from and where we're at. Nick, thanks so much for being here.
You're welcome. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me. So yeah, we're very excited about Ashler Hills and the construction of the park, which we expect to start in the next couple of months. And the park actually has been in Scottsdale's plans for 24, 25 years. So it's really a great feeling to get to this point now where we know we'll start construction.
No, that is great. And maybe go back. We were talking before. About it's an interesting deal. It actually started. It's a 17-acre piece of land, mm-hmm. and at one time it was including a library and some other stuff, right?
Yeah, I think prior to the 2000 bond, there were plans to put a park, a small neighborhood park, a branch library, and then a small performing arts center there on that site. So, the project, the Ashler Hills Neighborhood Park project, was included in our Scottsdale's bond in 2000. Was not built as a result of just economics. So it was all included again in 2019, and that's where we got where we are now. So really excited about it. It's going to be a beautiful park.
Yeah, Kate, can you put up that picture? We'll show you the sign. There was a sign up there for 20 years I watched.
Yeah,
oh, there we go. There it is.
All right.
Whoop. There it is. Yeah, it was called Savano Village Park.
So there was a point where someone was asking me about Savano Village Park, and when are we going to, and I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never heard of Savano Village Park, but up in that area, we have a really cool project called Ashler Hills Neighborhood Park. And then I came to find out that it was referred to as Savano Village Park. So
yeah. There was actually two substantial signs there for 20 years. Couldn't wait to see what happened.
I wonder where those signs are now.
Yeah, that's a good question.
That's a good question. That'd be cool to know.
That would. Really. Mark that down. We're looking for that. But so where we're at now, is that getting ready for the, not de-veg, but they're marking plants?
So right now they're marking plants and they will start, I believe we're still scheduled to have construction fencing go up after the Labor Day holiday. So construction fencing will go up and then they will start their native plant salvage. Basically, they'll mark all of the native trees, will create a nursery, will keep all of those trees that are viable on site, and they'll be included in the landscaping for the park. So we do that with all of our North Scottsdale parks, and really all of our parks, but our North Scottsdale parks specifically, where we have cactus and we have saguaros and things that are relevant to the landscape.
Yeah, just for those of you who haven't been here a long time, that part of North Scottsdale is an ESLO designation to it, the Environmentally Sensitive Land Ordinance. Mm-hmm. And so you don't just go in, bring in a Cat 9 bulldozer and knock it down. You take out, you carefully box the substantive plants, put them into a kind of a nursery, set mm-hmm. them to the side, protect them the whole time, and then return them to the natural environment.
Yeah, the tree salvage is interesting, and I don't have all the details on it, but there's the schedule follows the migration of birds. So there's a window where you can do native tree salvage, and you have to wait during till after a certain point where the migration of birds have left, so there's no nests or eggs. And so it's an interesting process, but it's exciting because when we get to that process, we always know we're about to start a project or about to break ground on a project.
That's the exciting part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not to belabor it, but it's even more interesting than that. I did a video on it. We should put up too. But like the Palo Verdes, if you don't set them in exactly the same orientation to the sun, they'll burn.
Yeah.
They'll actually sunburn. And so there's a lot to it. This is not a cheap process. You should know Scottsdale is committed to keeping the desert, because that is the best part of North Scottsdale.
Yeah, and this park really reflects that. So the design of this park really is intended to blend with the surroundings, with the natural desert environment of this neighborhood. So, and we're pretty proud of the design.
Yeah, have we got some of those pictures? And so that's been there, really get a good sense of what it'll look like. And so since this was funded, let's face it, that was 2019. And inflation has been crushing since then.
Yes.
So is that going to get compromised?
It is not going to get compromised. So we, the budget for the park through the bond that was approved by Scottsdale voters in 2019 was $6.1 million. And Scottsdale City Council this past May allocated an additional $4.3 million to fully fund the construction of the park. So that's about where we're at in terms of cost inflation and escalation as far as the park goes. But we're just thrilled that we're not compromising any of the park amenities, that we're not downsizing the park, that we're not making any real cuts to anything that we promised to deliver to the voters when they approved the bond in 2019.
City Scottsdale is a cut above, really. I think they're the best planning out. They get the best outlooks, but also to show that kind of commitment to producing quality, because they're the most beautiful parks I've ever seen. Well, I'm not just talking about this one, all of them up there, really.
Thank you. Yeah, we've done a very good job historically with our park design and really being thoughtful about the surrounding, the parks in different parts of the city have a different characteristic based on where they're at. So we feel good about the design for this park, and really the North Scottsdale parks have all really been designed to kind of capture that feeling of the Sonoran Desert and the surrounding architecture, the architecture, the housing developments around the park. So.
That gives you a good sense. I think you can see it blends in. So, All right, now we got the whole picture up there. It's much easier to see. Since we got this, Nick, tell us a little bit about what you see.
Yeah, we have. This will be the entrance in the parking lot from Ashler Hills Drive. And we have a basketball court, 8 pickleball courts. Those are to the west side, kind of tucked against where the target is there.
Target's right here.
Yep. So we did the whole site design was developed to create the maximum amount of space between the residential to the north. So we have some turf areas, these grass areas here, all of the trees represented, not all these trees, but a bulk of these trees will be trees that have been, that were on the site before, that have been salvaged. We have the big steel structure here, this thing that we consider big shade, covers the playground, a restroom, storage. So a lot of shade here on the site, which is really a high priority for us when we build parks.
And this is a substantial shade structure. Yeah. That's going to be nice. Can we get that up there?
Yep. So represents this piece here, which is kind of the focal point of the park. And we have the playground right under here. So
is this all that metal that rusts in it?
It is, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It'll even look more. The older it gets, the more.
It ages very well. So the parks that we've been, Northside, Dock Cavalier, the parks that we built in North Scottsdale that we've used this material on, they've aged very well. They've aged kind of seamlessly into the landscape of the area. So we feel really good about this design and the materials that we selected for the park. And the elevation does come down from where we would be up here in the north. So the pickleball courts, which will provide the kind of the greatest level of sound and light, are depressed into the landscape. So that sound, that noise, that light will dissipate as it comes out. So really providing the least amount of impact as far as any noise, any sound to the residents and to the homeowners in the area.
Well, that gives a good sense of it.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of trees. So a lot of shade throughout the area.
And sound dissipation.
They do. We did actually, that's a great point, is that the landscape in this particular part of the park, which is northeast of the pickleball courts, is all kind of over vegetated to provide kind of increased sound barrier, increased light barrier. So there's very, very minimal, even line of sight opportunities from the households to the northeast.
Yeah, they're just up by that shelf kind of a thing in the northeast.
Other than southwest view.
Yep.
Okay, good.
So you can see
the homes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And this would be the entry to the park from the parking lot.
From here,
yep,
to bridge across. Mm-hmm. Is that probably an active wash?
It is an active wash, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In working through some of the wash areas, there are several wash areas in the park. Was a consideration that we had to look at when considering the location of some of the amenities. But yeah, it's nice because there'll be walking trails to the north that'll connect to these spaces out here. So easy access from the neighborhoods.
And actually, I think it goes down into the shops too. So if they wanted to, you go down and have lunch or what have you. Now let's kind of look at that timeline.
Yeah, timeline is really, we anticipate to see construction fencing go up the week after Labor Day. So sometime in that week.
Okay.
Week or two, and we'll start all of our native tree salvage, and then really we'll start to see some earthwork shortly after that. So in the early fall, October, we'll start to see not anything exciting for people, but they'll start moving dirt around, start doing some grading, and really that major construction will start near the end of 2024. So
the end of 2024.
Well, construction will start relatively soon. They'll start with, like I said, grading does take several months as far as literally moving dirt around, removing the trees, creating the nursery that they'll have for all the native trees that we plan to keep on site. So that process, several things can happen concurrently. So, and then we expect the total process to last between a year and maybe 14 months at the most. That's 14 months is probably a realistic timeline considering some of the work we're doing now. But as we see some of the timeline shorten up, materials have been a little bit more accessible than they were over the last year or two. We're shooting for that year mark.
Do they actually buy those now and store them somewhere, or are they?
That's a good point. We have not bought any of the materials yet for this particular park, but for some of the projects that we do, we are sourcing materials early in design. We will start to purchase some of the materials for this project 6-7 months before we need those materials. And it's part of our, not to get too into this, but the construction method that we went with, it's called CMAR, which is construction manager at risk. So we selected a contractor I would say it's been almost a year since we selected that contractor, and that contractor is working with our designer, with our architect, on constructability, on material selection, on material sourcing. So that's been the best method of construction that we've gone with, and that's would be the alternate one. One option would be a low bid where someone designs everything, puts together a hard design package, and then we source that out and we put it and we select the lowest bidder. So that's not the type of method we've been using over the past year or so, which gives us better results.
Makes sense. So right there, the final one is grand opening and celebration. That's winter, maybe spring?
Maybe spring 2025. It could be winter 2024. Yeah, we have grass areas at the park, but the grass areas are not massive, but they're enough area there. It's enough area for people to walk their dogs and to for kids to play, which is great. There will be some natural rain harvesting through that area, which is pretty cool. And hard to talk about rain right now in the summer when we haven't had any during a monsoon season, but a little bit different right now. We're working on a sports complex up north off of Bell, and the availability of acres of sod is something that impacts the timeline, and we won't have anything like that with Asher Hills.
Would you sod that, or would they just sprig it? Or?
We'll use sod with Asher Hills.
And you'd anticipate they'll overseed that?
No.
Or do you know? No?
No. No, we likely will not oversee. And I would say we won't oversee unless there's a compelling.
Like, that's probably unusual for a park, isn't it?
So we do not overseed. Generally speaking, we don't overseed our parks. We overseed some specialty areas within our civic center is overseeded, and then any major league sport. So our Scottsdale Stadium, there are a handful of spots that we have overseeded off and on, but with the drought, we're in phase one of our drought program right now, of Scottsdale's drought management program. If we move into phase two, phase one really kind of knocks out all of the overseeded areas. So we're looking at kind of minimizing the amount of space that we overseed to the greatest degree possible. But normally in all of our neighborhood parks throughout Scottsdale, we don't overseed those anyway. We let the grass go dormant.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And the equipment, as you were talking about the process, can you get the picture of the... we had talked mm-hmm. before about outdoor exercise yeah. equipment, maybe being multi-generational.
Yeah.
Where are you at in that process? Have you even thought about it?
Yeah. So our contractor right now is accepting proposals from a number of companies that do outdoor exercise equipment. And we've had some exciting conversations with some vendors about some equipment. The equipment gets better and better. This type of equipment, even since the time that we started to look at design after 2019, the quality of the outdoor exercise equipment has improved significantly. So we think we're going to be able to have some really cool pieces out there. And I think probably five or six really nice pieces that are at the park. So,
and that's along with a component that is the normal, more for kids kind of a thing.
A playground. Yeah, there playground. Will be a full playground. And the playground will be underneath the shade system. We anticipate that all the exercise equipment will be shaded as well.
No, that's going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah, and that, I mean, really, this will be the first park that we do something like this with outdoor adult-focused exercise equipment. And I expect that it'll be something that we do, that'll be maybe a standard that we go with in future parks. And as we redevelop parks, that's likely something that people really, really value. So we're looking forward to seeing what this looks like when we ultimately source a vendor, and then when the park is done.
We did a video on that. And I think we talked about it at one point. And for you folks that didn't hear that, the zip code where this park is going to be is the highest percentage of baby boomers in the United States. So we've always thought that maybe the park should reflect that.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's gonna on
some level. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then really all the other amenities, a really good mix of amenities, and considering the area, the pickleball courts, obviously, the basketball court, the playground, will have the adult exercise equipment, but then a lot of just passive area for people to spend time outdoors, which really has become, it's interesting, the just access to open space and in our parks, our preserve since COVID has exploded in popularity. And this value of just being in open space, you kind of think about, and we get really hung up on amenities and pickleball and basketball and what's the playground going to look like. But since the pandemic, this idea of being able to be outdoors, to be in an open, safe outdoor space is something that's been of incredible value to people. So yeah, a lot of really good space here in this park.
Well, that's going to be gorgeous. That's a big part of it. Then I don't know if we put this in there, but just the overall view from our end, it's been such an interesting process. Has this been kind of an unusual process for you, this park, or normal? Or
in Scottsdale, nothing is really, really easy, and part of that is we really value community input. So our goal is to end the end goal for projects to be a compromise in the community, a compromise between the neighborhoods and stakeholders. And this is probably the best example of it. We took an extra year of community input for this project. So a full year of going out and doing extra outreach, doing virtual open houses. This was during the kind of that COVID time. So we did a lot of our outreach virtually. And we probably don't do that, or we don't do that for many. I don't think in 26 years I've done that for any of our projects. But when we got to the end, I think everybody felt like we were at the best possible compromise. Like we had really produced the best design possible for everyone, for the neighborhood, for the active individuals in the area that want to see activity, that want pickleball, that want amenities. So we really feel like that extra time, which probably cost us some money considering the inflation during that time.
Yep.
But we feel good about where we landed at with design as far as consensus goes.
Yeah, the one part where I know there are probably still some people grumbling, I really think you guys addressed it perfectly. You in particular, was the dog park issue. But now we have a bit of an answer to that when there's a new one, right?
Yeah, in the same bond election, so as part of the same funding source, we're building a dog park on Thompson Peak in Hayden. So adjacent to, on the corner there, adjacent to Thompson Peak Park. So that'll be a 3.5-acre dog park with three separate dog cells, similar to the one we have down south at Chaparral. And really, in our community, we have these large dog parks that are more community gathering spaces. They bring people from all over the area. We have people that come to Chaparral's dog park, that come from Phoenix, they come from Mesa, they come from everyone, from everywhere. We have not, putting dog parks in the middle of a residential area where you have a lot of noise, a lot of sound, a lot of activity, was not something that was appropriate for this space, considering the sensitivity that a lot of the neighbors had to sound, to additional light, to traffic in the area. And with the one street, kind of one point of entry,
right,
it just was not the right place for a dog park here at Asher Hills. But now we will have, we're at about 60% design plans for the dog park at Thompson Peak. So that won't come far behind the Asher Hills project.
That's probably less than 4 miles away.
Yeah.
But speaking also to the impracticality, Reed Parks went into it pretty good detail with us about these dog parks are much more maintenance than people really get.
We could have a whole session. We could have a whole podcast on dog park maintenance, because it is it's almost an impossibility. And one of the things that we're looking at with Thompson Peak, and we don't know where we're going to land, so it's not anything that your viewers or your listeners can count on, but we've been looking at alternate surfaces. In other parts of the country, they use other surfaces other than grass. They use the most utilized surface is wood chips.
Wow.
And part of that is the amount of time that the grass is not able to be used. We see significant downtimes after rain events. But just when you consider hundreds, if not thousands, of little dog feet a week on grass, combined with running dogs, dog urine, all of that, to keep healthy grass is almost an impossibility. In our dog parks, our dog park down south, we every summer just have to tear out all the sod, resod it, rebuild it. And that is really only to get us to a place to where it can last through
another 12-month period.
And really it's a 9-month period. So yeah, dog parks are challenging. We know though that they're a need, and we know that people really want them. So we're doing everything we can to really design the best project up at Thompson Peak in Hayden. And then we have some plans for some renovations to our Southern Dog Park to maybe make that a little bit more. We have unbelievable use at that dog park, which is, it's really our only major dog park in Scottsdale, and the use is just incredible.
Well, that gives a good sense for it, but it, as you say, people, it's their kids kind of a thing. In fact, I remember telling Reed Parks, who was kind of in your position, yep, earlier, that tread lightly on that subject. I said, these pickleball people are enthusiastic. The dog park people are rabid. Walk carefully.
When really since 2019, we've seen an explosion in demand for dog parks. And that COVID puppy.
Everybody buying it.
That's real. So now we have lots of people who have new dogs, and dogs are obviously, I bought a dog during COVID, and we certainly understand that. So we've had some changing needs over the past, you know, 4 or 5 years. So trying to adapt to that to the best we can.
That's awesome. Let me see what we haven't touched on. I was going to maybe go into the new park, but you know, since you got you here, they've just been seeing now the Giants are going to be moving on to Papago.
They've moved. So we have a couple of different master planning projects that are going on right now, and I'll speak to Indian School Park. We have a master plan that we're working on right now, and anybody can submit input to that by going to indianschoolpark.com. We have an interactive website that lets you provide feedback and do some exercises on an interactive map. But the San Francisco Giants had used that space for the past 20 years for their minor league team. And they moved to a new complex at Papago, really McDowell and 64th Street, about 18 months ago. So that prompted a need to take a look at that park. But really, it wasn't just the Giants leaving. That park was built in 1980. It was built before the Americans with Disabilities Act. An ADA perspective, the contours in the park within the washer are dated and need some upgrading. But the facilities within that park are all aging too significantly. So talking 43 years and some are showing their age. So you have a number of things that happened at the same time. The Giants leaving and vacating this area, a clubhouse that was built for the Giants. And then these areas, these kind of facilities that are aging and the general parks accessibility. So we're doing a master plan right now of that space. And we're doing that in line with our park system-wide master plan, which is happening right now too. So that's a big deal for us.
It's a cool opportunity, yeah. And pickleball will be a big part of it. I'm sure
the feedback we've heard so far has been heavy in pickleball, so we will see some pickleball come out of this planning process for sure.
And I don't think I mentioned it, but just scottsdaleaz.gov, and then just search for Ashler Hills Park, and you can see all these pictures. And then
IndianSchoolPark.com is the independent website for that project. And really, if you want to provide input there, we have a website called ShapeScottsdaleParks.com, and that's our system-wide master plan website. A number of really awesome tools on that website where there's a budget tool where you have a certain amount of money and you can budget out your park system. We have a big idea area where you can share your input about any big idea you have for Scottsdale Parks. There's an online feedback system, but we have this interactive map where citizens can provide feedback about areas in existing parks in Scottsdale, which is really cool. But pickleball is what we've heard a lot of.
Sure.
So, and we know.
But I would mention you guys, we've been through this whole I've never been through this process before with a city, but I've been blown away at how, you know, you guys have been right there with us, talking to us the whole time, up front. Everything was done first class. If you're interested in this kind of stuff, you should go give them your feedback, because I honestly believe you listen.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate that. We do listen. And every once in a while, there's some timelines that end up being a little bit longer than we'd like, but that generally results in better projects. It does. And one of the things that we're really proud of here is where the pickleball courts are, where the activity spaces are at Ashler Hills, are in the best possible location for the design of the park and for the neighborhood. And that's what we're trying to do with all of our parks. So when, you know, we get feedback from time to time about, well, why don't you take those tennis courts and make them pickleball courts? And if depending on where they're located, that's not always the best idea for everyone. So.
No, I mean, you guys put a lot of thought into it, and I do agree that this park turned out pretty perfectly.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, we're really excited about it. We can't wait to get started.
Well, and that really wraps it up. If anything changes, let us know. We'll have you back for that again. But otherwise, will you be going to the grand opening, probably?
Of course.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that'll probably be our next podcast at the opening. But thank you so much for coming out, Nick.
Thanks for having me, Scott. Appreciate it.